The Wi-Fi app, what I noticed the one time is I couldn't get on Wi-Fi, then they changed my username in the guest app and it worked. And I was like, well, why is the guest app controlling 1864?
It isn't.
Well, this time that might suggest that. So I'm not sure what was going on that one time. We are seeing weird shit with Wi-Fi though, dude.
Well, it worked this morning for me.
Yeah.
So I changed my password in Okta.
Well, no, we're not seeing password issues.
All the way
we're
through.
Seeing username issues.
What's a username issue?
Like the username in some Okta Wi-Fi app doesn't match AD, so the user can't get in. But it's not supposed to depend on Okta. So no, like we're trying to figure out.
I think that's a
red this hearing. Misconfigured within like the Radius server or something? Like, and it's funny. I sent one email to Ian, who forwarded it to this other dude who completely misinterpreted it, and so I'm trying to get him more information.
Only Jeremy Bricker knows anything, FYI. If you want to get Wi-Fi fixed, I've already talked to everybody.
Zero. Jeremy Bricker,
zero.
I love.
I go to everybody and they're like, yeah, just talk to Jeremy. So if we think it is Wi-Fi related, which I do not think it is, that's where we need to go. So.
Hey.
Sorry.
I don't think I've seen you guys in forever.
No, I know.
I know.
How's it going?
Good.
Happy New Year even?
Dion was waving at me with his hand like a little boy. It was
there
awesome.
Was traveling, and then there was illness, and then, yeah.
There was a lot.
You were in New York. I was in L.A.
How did your L.A. trip go?
It was great. It was a blast.
Good show?
The show was great. Sold out. It was a blast.
Did anybody mention that they came because of my wife?
No, I don't. If her friend came, I don't think she introduced herself.
Yeah,
but
okay.
It was packed, so it's possible.
Good. I'm
that
glad
she
it was
there,
packed
and
show.
I didn't. You know, get and I if she introduced herself at the end of the night, I don't know that I remember. I mean, there were like a lot of old friends there, and like I just realized today I paid all the comics, and it turns out randomly I paid two of them a Sunday and totally forgot about that, you know.
So you paid them twice,
yeah, is that which is fine, whatever. They chose not to tell me, I just saw it in my my bank statement. I'm like, all right, well, they need it more than me, so it's fine. Or maybe they were as equally drunk and didn't, and they forgot they were paid.
How nice of you.
Who knows?
That's very kind. At some point, they'll sober up and look and go,
yeah,
hey,
well,
look.
I don't want to be that guy. He's like, I need you to pay me back. You know, that's not how you run a business.
No, that's not. No.
Free show next time.
So we've been away for a while. We are the Worldwide IT Guys. I'm Steve.
I'm Dion.
This is Sean.
And we're going to try to do this. It's podcast 277 by the count that is now what? The last time we did this was last year sometime. Did we do it early in this year?
We did not.
I don't think we've done it in this year.
I don't even like
that.
See
it's 20. What year is it now? It's 2024, I think.
Yep.
And yeah, it's a brand new year. It's a brand new reality. It's we're still going through this journey called transformation. I think that's how we start. Are we not? We're still.
It's
going.
An eternal.
I
want
to get to this. I want to get
is.
To the stability project. You know?
I'm just trying to remind people.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to remind people why we do this podcast.
Yeah. This pod started with
so
transformation.
So everybody knows this is all about some asshole IT guys trying to get through life in their transforming world at a large marketing organization, which shall be named at some point because that's what we do. And so, Dion, how have you been?
Oh, I'm good. So I do think I need to share that my daughter and her friends have found this.
No.
Oh, boy. Oh, so we got to be careful about what we say now?
Never. No, fuck them.
Oh.
I told them it's
that was
a mature rating.
That was Emma's dad said that. Just so we're clear.
We've been worse. I don't think they're actively listening.
No.
But it was.
No. Most of the time, like anybody who finds any kids like that who find this, they might like listen for 30 seconds and go, like, these guys are dull.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My kids don't listen to me day to day, you know, when they need to. And then they're not certainly not going to consume a podcast. No. You know? Yeah.
It was more to, oh, your dad does do a podcast and it's on, you know, it's like Apple and like really out there. And it's there. It's real. And cool. So that's all.
Yeah.
I think. So,
if you want, if it doesn't matter, we could talk about the last time you and I were in the office and we were walking.
I'm not changing what I talk about on this podcast based on the fact that somebody may or may not have.
And I mentioned to Dion, we were talking about how we need to, you know, we're always going to the same three places, you know, and we were at Stocks and Blondes. Oh, so first of all, this is a funny update. We go to Monk's. He and I go to Monk's, have a couple beers there, have lunch there. It's nice. But, you know, the beer selection isn't that great. So we had everything we wanted, and we go to Stocks and Blondes. The waiter from Monk's comes, like, running in his pocket. I don't know if you remember this. He's got, like, a weird jacket on. Each pocket has a 16-ounce can of beer in it, like, that he's, like, commuting home with. And he's like, oh, man, I've been looking all over for you. I'm like, what? You left your scarf there. So he had just, he's like, he must have gone to Trevor. Like, those two dudes you know left the scarf. And he's like, well, I guarantee they're in a nearby bar.
Just go around the block. Yeah.
So this is like the third bar he's in and he finds us. He gives us the scarf. He told us it was back at the bar.
He told us to go back. So we had to go back to Monk's.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And we're like, okay. I mean, they're still very nice of him. I don't know why he didn't just bring the scarf.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So then we're leaving Monk's, and we're talking about how we needed to try out new bars, and I'm like, you know, there's this great dive that I went to when I first came to Chicago that I haven't been back, that I've heard still exists. We could try. It's called Skyride Tap, and it's like right by the L, right where you guys get on the Metra.
Yes.
And Dion's like, I've never seen it. I'm like, yeah, it's very indistinct.
It's weird. It's right by the train.
Is it on the east side?
It's on the southeast side, yes.
Yeah.
Very lowbrow, like no good beer select, whatever. It's a, you know, construction bar, you know, that, which is fine. But this is what did us in.
Here we go.
As we're walking by Xerxes, the bar that famously poured. So we go in there.
The place that I walked out of.
Yes. And I tell him, I'm like, if we go in this place, we're not going to be able to go to the other place, okay? And he's like, no, well, let's just see. You know, maybe we remember it. Maybe we remember it differently.
Oh,
I order two man hands.
Like,
he pulls up half a bottle of Jack, pours it all into one, opens up another bottle, finishes off that one, and then starts his other one.
He's pouring like he forgot he's pouring.
Like, yeah, it's like when you see a cooking show and they do like a whole bottle of salt or something. Yeah. Like it was like our... And then we did go to the other, you know.
You did end up.
We made it.
When Dion commits to a plan, he's like, no, we're going to the other one.
Well, I was more, I had an intent to have the drink there or two, and then make sure we got to the other place.
So we're both a mess at that point. I go home.
I got a photo from that day. I remember.
It was.
You got a photo when we were still okay. That was like before the first drink at Xerxes was poured.
Did I share the train photo?
I don't think I got the
photo. You shared a store and update with me. You didn't share a photo.
Oh.
Because you got in hot water.
Yeah, because I don't remember anything. So that was tough. And it was later than I thought. And I was sloppy. But do you remember what we drank at the Sky?
I remember what you drank. I ordered a beer because I was like a mess. And I think they did have Lagunitas IPA. I think they did have that.
Do you remember the shot
you
we
said,
tried, or
you,
the drink we
you
tried?
You said, I want you to make me the cocktail you prefer to make for customers.
Oh,
and
wow.
She's like,
what's your
this
thing?
This isn't really a cocktail bar, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she poured you a weird vodka with like, it had a vegetable in it, right? Wasn't it like a jalapeno vodka?
It was a cucumber.
Cucumber and jalapeno vodka.
Something
with a beer,
and I chased it with a beer.
And you chased
well, that was, no, she gave you both. She was like, this is what I like to give to customers.
Yeah, it was basically like,
and I was like, oh boy,
it was a handshake of some sort. So,
yes, I am looking at the photo of the two of you at Circe's or whatever it's called. I am then got a location of you.
Oh,
heading
no.
to the train, just in case you never hear from me again. Was
share
your
location.
That was me. Yes, I remember that.
Proof of life.
At least least I was smart enough to do that.
That was the end of that.
And then you disappeared.
Then you were offline. Yep. Yeah. You guys definitely had
here, and we're doing this podcast right now, and I'm wearing track pants with a tucked in shirt.
Yeah, if we start that way, you never know how we're going to finish.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, by the way, speaking of, so your story was you. Tian just shared the photo from the train. Is that what you sent to your wife?
No.
On the train?
Anybody else texting me got that.
So you this morning got up to do your routine. Yep. It's going to be a beautiful day in Chicago. You said, I'm going to bike in. Mm-hmm. And you forgot.
To pack pants.
To pack.
So I'm getting ready. And I'm like, all right, how do I want to do this? Do I want to wear... I can't just wear underwear. Like, that's, I'll get fired. Though it would be a hilarious gag to only have underwear.
I mean, you have pants on.
We all agree it's a great gag, but that's kind of.
Who's the guy with the legs?
Yeah.
Would be the first time you Daffy Ducked, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm like, okay, do I want to just wear my cycling outfit? And that's what I was going to do initially, but the shirt was all sweaty, and I'm like, I can't do this. So I'm like, Well, I think maybe I actually look like some sort of savant business person.
Look fine. You look fine. Actually, my wife sent a picture because you posted that apparently on social. And sure enough, she sends it to me going, tell Sean he looks great. So, there you go. You got an endorsement here. So it's nice to groove back in with you guys. We tend to talk about these things roughly this time of year. No, we're not doing any silliness with ratings or anything, but has anybody seen any of the Oscar-nominated movies? Has anybody spent time with any of this content? No, but nobody has. Wow.
I don't think so,
to be honest with you.
That's somewhat shocking.
Let me see what they are. I don't even know what they are.
I can tell you the one film that I have watched, which I truly enjoyed, was a movie called The Holdovers.
Oh, I started that and enjoyed it. And Paul Giamatti's very good.
He's
great in everything. Yeah. And I really liked that movie. That movie, it felt like a time warp. I know it's set a long while ago, but it also feels like it was made a long while
ago. Yeah, it's like set in 1971 or 72 or something.
It's dialogue heavy in an old school movie way. Like there aren't... The scenes each last a long time in kind of a nice way. I liked it.
The guy that made that movie, we read after seeing this, so it starts with kind of the grainy, like, mm-hmm. title screen all. And Jen looked at me and was like, what's up with that? And I said, oh, you know, I'm sure it's period and they're trying to get you into that mode. Yeah. And sure enough, they carried that all the way through. The guy talked about how the hard part for filming that was he wanted it to be truly a period piece that wasn't made like a period piece.
Yeah.
You see too many things. So he wasn't going to use the technology that we have today. He was like, I'm making this just like I would making it back in that time.
Cool.
And that meant that he said the hard part was you couldn't just go, well, I need like early 70s cars. No, you need 60s and 50s cars because they're still on the road in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he had that kind of mentality.
Cool.
Really great movie, beautifully done, and I highly recommend it for anybody that's into film.
I need to finish it. I saw like maybe the first half hour, 45 minutes, and something came up, but I did like that. I'm actually looking at the list now, and I mean, loved Oppenheimer, and I liked Barbie a lot. I hated... Killers of the Flower Moon.
Haven't seen.
I gave it like five chance. It is very long.
Yeah,
very
slow. It's like six hours long, right?
I couldn't get into it at all. Get into it. Yeah,
I'll see Oppenheimer soon. I saw Barbie.
Oppenheimer's great.
Yeah, Oppenheimer is also really good. But conversely, Oppenheimer's kind of done the other way, where it's a period piece that is done with kind of all the current. Mm-hmm. technologies and sure. things that you can do. Like, you know, he talked about those sort of establishing shots that are all done with drones now, and he's like, I was absolutely the Holdovers guy, absolutely not going to do anything like that. Everything is from the ground or from a crane. That's about as high as you could get.
Sure.
So really cool stuff.
Cool.
Do recommend that. And then what ends up happening, I look at all these movies that I might want to go back and watch, Killers of the Flower Moon, and every time I want to watch it, it's like, I'm never going to make that time. I'm never going
to
do it.
You have to treat it like a mini-series, I feel, and just be like, you know what?
Three sittings,
we'll,
I might
yeah,
get.
We'll knock off.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and then it doesn't seem TV as boring, yeah. You know? Yeah, like, I'm just going to knock. That's what Jess and I did with his last movie, The Irishman. We watched it over, like, 2 weeks. Like, right. We would watch
that's interesting.
Every few days we'd watch like a half hour or an hour. And when you watch it like a mini series, I enjoyed it. I would have fucking hated it in the theaters. I would have been like, that was my weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You yeah. know, like, blew a whole day on this. Yeah. Yeah.
So what I did instead of watching one of these long movies is I actually watched Mission Impossible 3 because I don't think I ever really watched all of that series. And yeah. So I was like, well, I'm going to go back. I'm not going to spend any time with, I know one, that's the one I remember going to see. Did I see 3? I might not have seen 3.
They were on a marathon on cable last weekend.
And funny.
I saw a bunch of them because it was on during the day as I was doing stuff in the house. And Emma came in and out. And I'm like, all right, you got to come here and watch this crazy stunt that Tom Cruise does yeah. for real. And it was the, I'm hanging from an airplane, I'm jumping from a building, breaking my leg, and, you know, I'm jumping, you know, it's like, these are real. He did this.
Yeah,
this
yeah, yeah.
He's our Jackie
yeah.
Chan.
Yeah, he's nuts. Our
have you guys, I'm a huge Tom Cruise. I'm sure I've told you guys this story, the party I was thrown out of for being a Tom Cruise fan a few years ago.
You might have, yeah, you might have.
So sure. I am a giant Tom Cruise fan, and I have this theory. And I'm at this party. No one's met me. Like, we're all drinking, but, like, you know, I'm very loud. And, like, if I'm talking really? About anything, I get passionate about. And people think I'm yelling at them. Like, I'm in anger because we're kind of having an argument. They're all talking about how much they hate Tom Cruise. It's, like, all women. I say I think he's the most important actor of all time. And then I
never wanted to shy away from
yeah, I was gonna say,
the absolute.
Subtlety. Yeah, yeah.
And I really do believe this. I share my theory. And my theory is that I'm like, if you notice, in every single movie, his boss is trying to kill him. And I was saying Tom Cruise is secretly giving us an anti-capitalistic message that your employer is exploiting your own labor. Like, I get very Marxian on this, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're, like, trying to poke holes in it. They're like, no, what about this movie? What about that? And I'm like, nope, that's the boss. That's the boss. And I'm getting louder and louder. And the hostess.
Risky business.
Yeah. The hostess Sorry. Risky who business. Comes over. And I do have a caveat that when he was powerful enough to pick his own projects, that's when this started.
Got it.
The hostess, who I'm friends with, and Jess is very good friends with, takes me aside. She's like, I think you should leave. You know, people are just scared of you. She's
wow.
like, I know you well enough that you're not. I know you're not angry at anyone, but you're just loud. You know, like, Jess thinks you're being too loud, too. I guess I go to her. I go, listen, I love my wife. But she doesn't understand how fucked up this country is. And Tom Cruise is trying to tell us.
Oh, my God.
He's like, what an amazing quote to
open. I don't think
okay,
you persuaded
maybe you
her.
Should leave.
Yeah, I don't think you persuaded her. Yeah, I don't think that was quite the argument you thought.
That's great. So, yeah, that's like what I spent my weekend, not my weekend.
Mission One Impossible evening. 3 is great. 2 is the worst. So 3 is when it went back up.
That's exactly what I did. I was like, yeah. I remember 1, 2. No, I'm not watching that.
Yeah.
I'll did I see 3? I might have seen 3. I'll watch it.
2 is interesting to watch as a 90s time capsule. It's highly 90s. You know, it's John Woo's like big American feature. It's very John Woo with doves and motorcycles.
So
and
3 is the famous Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Correct.
Yeah. That one is...
It's great.
It might be the best one.
It is. It's like the Empire Strikes Back of Mission Impossible. Yeah. You know, spoiler alert, it's only been around for, you know, since 2006, if you haven't seen it yet. But the end of that movie is he doesn't win. And that's the best part.
Yeah.
It literally is like, and I told, as we're watching these movies, I said, because we had already, it's gotten past 3. I'm like, we got to go, if you want to see any of these, you got to see 3. And I was explaining to Tara that, like, he doesn't win in that one. Like, all the other movies, you know, like, oh, yeah, the Earth didn't just get destroyed. But in that one, his life got destroyed. And it was like, I love that one. I agree with you. The third one is it stands out. I call it the Empire of Mission Impossibles because the
agree.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Because it's like, whoa. And that kind of changes the franchise because it goes down a different path for him after that movie. So anyways, we're getting too deep into it.
Yeah, we are getting way too deep into it.
But movies, yeah, that was it. I haven't, I don't know. The list of movies this year didn't
do anything for you.
Mm-mm.
Nope. Yeah, well. I don't know. So what? We've had Grammys. Did the Grammys do anything for you? You always do a Grammy thing. Did you do something this year?
I didn't do the Grammy party, oh, okay. But I did watch it with my family and they enjoyed it. And this is kind of funny. The last 40 minutes before the album of the year was, in my mind, like just dump as much hip hop in here so we get it in. And at that point, it wasn't like a mixture of back and forth. It was just literally 25 minutes of hip hop and rap and all these things. And my daughter was like, what's going on? It's not music that she hears, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Well, we'll see who's up next. And it was like, just more. And I'm like, wow, they're really piling
on. Was this the year?
Right,
was
before.
Was it this year or the previous year where they were celebrating the anniversary of hip-hop?
I thought was last year.
Last year was the anniversary, yeah. Okay. 50 all years. Right. This year was essentially Jay-Z winning the award, Dr. Dre Award.
Yeah.
And then saying like, yeah, just keep trying, guys. You're almost there, you know, with like being equal, you know, with how you award these things. And then it was after he said that, it was, again, almost 40 minutes of just hip hop and rap and R&B and stuff like that. And I was like, okay.
But wasn't there also a bit of a controversy? Like, didn't he say something that dissed?
Well, yeah. How can you win like 30 Grammys and never have best album, which is his wife, Beyonce? Yeah,
Beyonce, which getting was, that.
Again, another controversy right before Taylor Swift comes out to win.
Yep.
It's her first Grammy ever, and it continues 20 years later for Taylor Swift, or, you know, 15 years later, she's still getting this. But what about Beyonce?
Yep.
Every time she wins. But what about Beyonce? Like, and they're fine. They're friends. They get along. It's no big deal. But it's always, you know, it's Kanye.
Are they friends?
Or,
are they
well, friends? I don't know who anybody is friends with. You know, they're friendly in public to each other. So, exactly. But the Grammys were fine. I thought they were good. There were some good performances.
Yeah, I thought the Grammys were okay. I nothing struck me as, you know, like the Tracy Chapman thing was
that kinda, was the best.
It was nice, but it didn't strike me as the best.
I thought it was nice. I don't know. From a moment where you didn't expect that to happen to how genuine I think Luke Combs was.
Yeah,
I thought that was a moment.
Yeah, yeah, so. It was. But that to me as the highlight of that, which I think that kind of is the highlight. It wasn't that big of a highlight.
Yeah. I agree. It's a low bar. And so is that whole thing. But
Yup. So the tech landscape, is there anything going on in the security world that, you know, Sean usually bring security things?
There were like a couple, well, Microsoft had that big breach where they said, you know, I think they said it ended up being Russia, hacked a bunch of big companies, and nobody knows yet quite how big that is. I don't know. There haven't been a lot of
ones. Has
it
just become like mundane that this stuff just happens now, and Russia and China, and they get into stuff, and
it's very disconcerting when you hear like how they get in, because this was they had a test tenant, Microsoft, for their own like QA, and there was a relationship over Grath pointing back to Prod that they didn't even realize. And then, so basically Russia, I think they said it was Russia, hacks the test tenant, which isn't monitored as strictly, because you think, oh, okay, well, what's the worst that could happen? But there was this one sort of like loop, kind of backdoor into actual Prod, where then they, you know, got a hold of things. And then once you are able to impersonate Microsoft, you can pretty much kind of do anything within their, you know, their cloud environment. So yeah, it was pretty bad, but it's always funny too, because they're always like, it is interesting, I think we've talked about this before, but how, like, when no matter who they are, when they're first breached, they're like, listen, we're telling all you guys, oh, this is a good discussion that we should have. Republicans in the Senate wanna, so the Biden administration created new SEC compliance standards where when you're breached or hacked,
yep,
and you're publicly disclosed, you have to disclose the hack, like, within pretty quickly too. I think it's like within 72 hours or something like that of you becoming aware of it. Mm-hmm. And Republicans in the Senate want to undo that, you know, and they're like, oh, this actually hurts security. And everyone who knows security is like, what are you talking about? You know, like, there's no way this hurts. Like, they're already, because whenever they come out with these press conferences, they're like, we immediately identified it. It was due to a rogue process. Nothing is lost. And then, like, every 2 weeks, it's almost, I always compare it to, like, when you one of your buddies gets in a drunk fight at a bar. He's like, the guy sucker punched me. I wasn't doing anything wrong. And then every week you learn a little bit more details. Like,
yeah.
Oh, no, actually, Frank was really running his mouth. You know? And, you know, the guy didn't sucker punch him. He asked him to move away. And, you know, and yeah, so yeah. And it's that the same was, with these companies.
That was the Okta breach. It was exactly that. Similar thing. And it's almost like the Microsoft thing was, that's how they got an Okta. Let's do the same shit to Microsoft. Because it was essentially... Mm-hmm. It was a help desk ticket system that wasn't as protected because it's just a help desk ticket system with no access to anything. But you get a bunch of admins and then you just try to figure some things out. And then, you know, they know who all the admins are. So let's try to gain access with those admin accounts.
Yep.
And then here I am 4 months later, still explaining to parts of our business. Here's what Okta said. Here's what this said. Here's the results. And by the way, because they did that, they figured something out in Cloudflare. Cloudflare had a thing because of that. Cloudflare has divulged this, and it was like this trickle down everything. And every month I've had to reiterate what happened, what the current state was, and then address the new thing that came out of it and say, no, but we're fine. We're okay. We checked. We're good. I promise you, we're good.
Well, and it's like at the end of the day, what are you going to do? Go to the next guy who has just as many breaches? I mean, it's not like...
I don't want to get into the, you know, the specifics, but did you guys get a notice from, like, there was a company provider that we all have something with that they sent a letter saying there was a breach. You should be aware of this breach. Details, you know, could have been leaked, and here's what we're doing. And they're offering, like, you know, they're offering whatever security service as an 1 year's worth of their service. Like, okay. But if that data is really out there, you know, that data is important data. And now you're just going to give me 1 year. That's not going to cover, right? If it was like, yeah, your password, but no, it's other detail.
Yeah.
Right. And so you guys didn't see this. I got a letter in the mail specifically.
I don't recall seeing that. I mean, I've been traveling, so it might be sitting there waiting for me. Jess had a similar thing with Chase where they're like, you know, we found your email like on the dark web, like you know, sign up for the service.
But that was like, we found something. That's like they're providing a service to you to try to, you know, offer up other services that they want you to buy. This was no, our provider.
Yeah, no,
fucked
it is a little bit different. Yeah.
Your data was potentially exposed this way, and here's what we're doing to sort of make good on it. And it's like, you guys should be better at this than, and you know, it's a provider. It's, you know, it's never them. And is this real or is this like?
Yeah, it's always somebody else's fault, you know? And then it's like, well, so you don't do any providence on your, you know, the people that provide you with services and so on?
Yep. No, we wrote the contract in such a way that we can point at them.
Yeah.
That's that was called cover your ass, not protect your customers.
I only have one login in Dashlane that says dark web monitoring found something right now currently. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, whenever I see that dark web monitoring stuff, it's always like, oh, yeah, that's that account that I, you know, that is the email that doesn't matter. Is the password that doesn't matter. It's all the stuff that's, yeah, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
I very rarely.
So far, so good.
Run into something like that. But I just thought it was fascinating that one of these providers sent something, you know, official letter. So we'll compare notes later. So I don't know. You know, we've got a Super Bowl that happened, and you know, was it Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce covering? We don't need to talk about the details on that, but it was a good game. It was a terrible game, and then it was a great game.
Yeah.
They always are like that.
Oh my God, the first half, I nearly fell asleep. It was so bad.
Same thing. Yeah. What's going on with this game? And everybody's like, just wait, just wait. And we all were like, okay, yeah. When's the second, is the third quarter, fourth quarter? All right, good, let's go. Same thing, it's always. And then for one team to not know new overtime rules is, you deserve to lose.
Well, you know
I'm
what,
so
though?
Sorry.
The coach but, did you know him, though, and he did, the team did what he wanted. So Shanahan has talked about this in detail. And he's like, I understood the new rules.
For those of you that don't know.
He just made a mistake.
for those of you that don't know, what ended up happening is the rules have changed the way that it works, where both teams get the opportunity with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they get it to get a possession. And if they score, great. The first team that scores, great, whatever. Second team has an opportunity to answer that score. They have a full possession to make that happen. If it ties, then it's the next score that wins.
Correct.
That's the new rules. They used to do what? They used to, was it?
You kick a field goal and win the game, but you get then
you
get a chance
a touchdown
to kick a field goal.
On the first one. So it was changed after the Chiefs.
Right. Well, I was going to go backwards in time.
Where Mahomes drove down, scored a touchdown, and Buffalo
never got the ball.
Yeah.
Right. So right. So a touchdown immediately
twice.
Scored.
They've changed it twice.
In the Mahomes era.
Correct.
Because of Mahomes.
Yes.
So because both teams get the ball, the money play seems to be to get it, don't take the ball, so that you know what you have to do. So that you're
100%.
You're basically go, they didn't score. Great. All we need is a field goal and we win. Or
they scored a touchdown.
We have to get a touchdown.
Yeah.
So you want the ball second in most cases.
He kind of outthought himself, and he understood that
part
of it.
Smart coach. That's why you don't need a smart coach.
And he's like, okay. And this was the fatal flaw. It's like it, for him to have gone to this plan, he should have committed to it. He did not commit to it as well. He's like, we're going to score a touchdown on the first possession, and then Mahomes is also going to score a touchdown. He's like, we're not going to be able to stop him in overtime. So I want it third so I can run down the clock and then kick a field goal. That was what – so he did explain that.
He totally overthought it.
He completely overthought it.
Well, you can't kick the field goal then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. So then he should have – when they were like fourth and two by the goal line, he should have gone for it.
Should have gone for
because
it.
Because you've already committed to this plan that is basically a three-possession plan.
That's where – so at some point he made the mistake.
Yeah.
Whether it was to
– that is so funny.
Yeah.
And he is lauded as like this mastermind offensive coach. So the two things, he overthought it.
Yep.
And – He thinks he's so good that, of course, we're going to score a touchdown.
But cold feet to get 2 yards? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't have done it.
Oh, that's pretty damn funny, actually.
Oh, goodness.
I enjoyed the game. Sorry for those of you that don't like or watch football, but I thought after sitting through that first half and feeling like, I'm just going to go to bed. This is ridiculous. And then to be like, oh, my God. There's a football game. It's fun.
Well, so I went to my parents and had some friends and family there, and we were like eating just the entire first half because there was nothing else to watch or do. So it was just like eat. And then the second half got good, and it was like, okay. Then we had, sat down and watched it, and that was great. But I always do enjoy when the company that we work for's commercials are in there, because then I kind of point them out and I'm like, hey, this is cool. We did this one, we did that one. And then later on, like, I'll say, oh, and we won something for that one, or this was a top whatever. What'd you guys think? And, stuff like that. And they're like, no.
Yeah, and there was some good work in this year that I really enjoyed. It wasn't just that it was, some years you go, that was us.
Yeah.
Well, this was a really good year.
Dunkings. Oof. That was like
Dunkings,
so good.
Yes, yeah. Very good. Yeah. The funny thing is, like, it's not like people that have been with us over the years watching the Super Bowl and now moved away from us, they send notes going, so tell me, what am I supposed to be looking for?
Right. No, that's the whole point. So they expect it from me because we've been doing this for a long time.
Yep.
So it's like,
it's fun.
Yeah, I agree. I usually send the link out that says, here's what we did.
Yeah.
And then
they
ping me later. So it's fun.
Very cool. So is there anything going on in other tech space that we should be aware of?
I loved this Canadian lawsuit where the judge rule. So Air Canada, and it was funny because the CEO did all these optimistic quotes on AI, where he's like, yeah, we're going to get rid of customer support. AI can do all this. AI lied about what the bereavement policy was for when you buy a ticket. And Air Canada then tried to say, oh, no, it's a computer. It can't be trusted. We're not going to honor what it said. And the judge ruled, no, this was your website. It was acting as an employee. You have to. But it basically told a customer, the customer was like, the wording on your bereavement policy is confusing. I have to fly out tomorrow. Can I just show you like the death certificate later or whatnot? And then you'll retroactively give me the discount.
Mm.
And the computer said, yes, yeah, we do that all the time. Yeah, no problem. And that is not their policy.
No.
And in fact, apparently their original, the actual article that she couldn't find because it didn't link to the right article either, says we will not do that. So they basically refused to do it. She took them to small claims court. They showed up because they didn't want a judgment against AI against them. Normally for small claims, maybe you wouldn't even show up, but it sounds like they didn't want a precedent set. And they're like, no, you got to honor the chatbot's thing. And now they've turned off the chatbot.
Of course.
Which shows how much confidence they actually had in it. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, you know, the AI overlords, they're taking over everything. I'm surprised they turned it off and they didn't just put some disclaimer on it, slap some, you know, this is directionally correct.
Yeah.
You might be right by listening to this thing and just put it real small print in the bottom and then go, yep, we covered our ass.
It is amazing like how bad some of the service, like I do for comedy, I use this pretty big ticketing company. And I mean, over the years, I have sent tens of thousands of dollars to these people. But the LA show that I had to do was the first show where the venue basically didn't know how to use internet ticketing, which is a long story in and of itself. So I'm like, okay, well, normally you run it through the venue's account because it's just easier for payment. It's easier for everything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no problem. We'll run it through my account. And I'm listed as a performer. Eventbrite is the company, not a venue. And it's just like I'm in this like cookie loop where it like, and I know as an IT guy what the problem is. It's like it's trying to send me to a venue admin page, but I don't have like the right credentials or the right session. And it's just, it's never going to let me get there. I tried in like three browsers, two different devices. It's never going to let me. I tried in their app. It won't even let me do it in their app. And their whole chat thing is just this AI thing. And I'm like, I need a human. I need a human. No, it's that won't work. I need a human. Like, fuck it. I just go to their Twitter account and I private message them. I'm like, I know this is the problem. The AI, I did do a little white lie. I'm like, the AI told me to contact you. And I got a human. He came right back. He's like, yeah, you're right. Let me switch something on our end. You should be good now. Try it now.
That is not the first time you have gone to Twitter to get a response from somebody or something.
Yeah.
Because,
It is a good thing that's out there. I mean,
but what if that becomes AI?
Social media. Oh my
totally
god!
Fucked, right?
I know. I will say this: you can tell when the chatbot's got an advanced AI behind it because it starts to pretend like it's getting you help.
Yeah,
and then you never get the help, and it's just like, okay, yeah, let me get an agent for you. Okay, so an agent's gonna say this, and it like pretends it's kind of talking to an agent for you.
Yeah,
and then it's
I've
seen some advanced chatbots that are trying to help me and they're still not a human. And I've been fooled into thinking, wait, that's almost a human. You're not a human. But they tricked me.
So this, you said this guy, is the guy suing Air Canada or whatever?
She was, the judge ruled in her favor. It was a woman who had to fly to like her uncle's funeral or something like that. She went to small claims court for the cost of the ticket, which was like $1,000. It was to go to like Vancouver to like Montreal or something like that. And Air Canada like sent its corporate law firm into small, which probably, I'm sure the judge is like, okay, this must be a suspicion. This must be interesting.
You know,
a company's going to the mat to fight this. But he's like, yeah, no, it's, so it might become precedent in Canada now. that.
So yes, you not only have to give this woman the discount, but you also now, I mean, she has had emotional stress. Yeah. So you owe $5 million to. That's what they should have
done. Yeah, if she had a real lawyer.
So I just wanted to, have you heard about the guy who apparently Powerball published the wrong winning numbers?
Oh, really? Okay.
No. And you haven't heard this?
No.
So there's this guy in D.C. who was like, I have the numbers. You published them.
Yeah.
And then you said, no, yeah. I'm sorry. And it was literally a quick mistake that was fixed. But this guy is now suing for like $350 million or something.
Oh, he wants the whole lottery jackpot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. There will be some settlement eventually that would sort this out.
Sure.
But it reminded me of this story. And that's like recent news.
It's a bad look because then you're like, well, how do we know what's a real number if you guys are changing them around? And
wait to see who wins and then you change it?
Powerball organizers in D.C., Washington, D.C.,
of course, D.C.,
mistakenly posted winning numbers in January of this year. And this guy is like, yep.
But I know in normal betting circles, like, you don't get paid out for misprints. Like, if you go to a track or something like that, they'll never, or a casino, they won't pay out for that kind of shit. I mean, they barely pay out for winning things.
Right.
I mean, they're always fighting shit if they can.
Speaking of betting, the gambling numbers for Super Bowl.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, I haven't seen them either.
It's gone out of control. Like, the number of commercials about it, the number of celebrities promoting it.
Oh, did you hear about the prop bet?
It's ridiculous. So,
I don't believe this guy, but it went viral on TikTok. He claims, because the Super Bowl has tons of prop bets that they don't have at a normal game.
Yes.
And he claims he put $300,000 on there would be a streaker in the first half. And then he shows in TikTok that he bets $300,000, and then he becomes the streaker to win it. Now, everyone I've ever known, because I used to ask about that, my buddy CJ, who's like a professional gambler, I'm like, couldn't like Billy Joel, if he's doing the national anthem, because they always have a prop bet for 2 minutes, couldn't he just put, like, if he wanted, $50,000 down that it would go longer and then really like hold the A for a long time?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he was saying, he goes, the thing about prop bets is they will usually never accept more than $20 on a prop bet because they're worried. They don't really know how to predict these prop bets. So if you came in with $200,000 worth of action on a prop bet, he's like, no casino would actually ever take that, supposedly. I don't know. But this guy on TikTok's claiming he just made like something like $1 million.
Wow.
But then apparently that's also a federal crime, what he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
To bet at it and then do that. Yeah.
$23 billion. Up from $16 billion last year.
$23 billion was bet on the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's insane. That's insane.
Crazy.
Yeah, and they do metrics with all the legal gambling, the sports books, Vegas, all that, and a percentage of off
the
books.
Did the rapture happen and we are literally the refuse that's left? Is that what we're doing?
It is crazy.
We're just
it's crazy.
Going into the hole?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're there. We're there. We've hit it.
So, guys, by my quick math, that we could, for that same amount of money, we could buy 11 stealth bombers.
Wait, didn't
$23 billion.
The commentary on it was,
or probably feed every homeless person in
that
the world.
That's the commentary. The commentary was,
if we wanted to,
we
be
could
less
solve
American
homelessness.
With that money.
We could solve homelessness in America with the $23 billion
yeah.
that we just blew on the Super Bowl. That was essentially the.
What was Sam Altman freed? What was his ask for? It was like $7 trillion or something like that.
For what?
Yes. Yes. CEO Sam Altman, the OpenAI CEO, he is looking for $7 trillion in investment.
Dropping the bucket.
What?
For a silicon chip investment in venture that he's offering up here. So he was
That's one-tenth of the U.S. economy. The U.S. economy is just about $30 trillion.
So the AI executive is said to have held fundraising talks with several potential investors, including the government of the UAE. According to the report, SoftBank Group, blah, 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 may participate as well. A lot of people are, like, signing up, going, yep. This guy's... Sam Altman. So
what's he looking?
Where did he, like, where was he bubbling quietly under the surface until this happened?
I think
happened?
It's when the board fired him. And maybe this is the kind of shit that the board's like, this guy's insane. But remember how the board tried to fire him, and then he basically won that. Uh-huh. It's kind of like if you uh-huh. shoot at the king, don't miss, you know. And he won that, and the board's gone now. And now he's, I guess he can say whatever he wants. $7 trillion is insane.
$7 trillion. Yep, that's what he's looking for.
For just AI?
For a chip to power AI, I believe.
Yeah, correct.
A chip.
Uh-huh. For semiconductors. Not, he's...
Oh, my God. Okay. Like, we're, like, on the verge of quantum computing. He wants a chip. Okay. All right. Right. I saw an interesting read about... we haven't had two technologies coming in at the same time as we do now with AI at the level it's at, and the Apple visual spatial VR at the same time. Meaning we've got usually one's like way in its infancy and it's way behind, and then we've got like a something that's in the lead that's taking charge. It's AI and this VR visual spatial Apple thing at the same time.
Have you seen any of those videos? I'm sure you have.
I have. I think only until you wear it do you know if it's for you. In my mind,
I agree.
So
there was one longer form video that I saw with a guy who literally put it on and spent a day in New York.
Yeah,
and he walked around the streets of New York and just to see
tons
what it would feel like.
Yeah,
and obviously he was like a sight, right? This guy with mm-hmm. these goggles walking around the streets of New York. I found it fascinating. I found it horrifying because literally the guy is interacting with the world, but not interacting with the world.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And it just scares the hell out of me if this becomes like you're wearing your glasses and we're all sitting in a room. We do it now where we're all sitting in a common space ignoring everybody because we're mm-hmm. looking at our phones. This just takes it to that next level.
Yeah. The usage that was explained that made me go, that could be cool, was you put it on and you want to fix something on an engine, right? And it can tell you what you're looking at and what you need to fix as you're going through it. So you've got somebody explaining how to go into your engine and remove the valve cover
this was
and
always,
do this.
That's
and
what Google Glasses pivoted
and,
to.
Right.
Google Glasses
so it's,
is used
it's kind
in
of
industrial
like,
plants
I see what you're doing. I can walk you through this. It's an AI-generated thing that has somebody's done it before and explained it. So they've taken it apart and put it together, and they're going to walk you through how to fix it or do it. That type of instruction seems very helpful, where I'm going to go do something, I'm going to put this on, and it's going to be my assistant, which is, we've seen that before. But I think that's why the two at the same time could be this leap for us, in that if they come together at the same time and we've got a computer that can do this and we can augment our reality to take advantage of it, it could be great. Not walk around all day, every day with stupid headphones, you know, or eyeglass goggles on, but to put it on when you're learning about something.
Right. But
and,
the point
and expand on it.
When it becomes.
Oh,
this,
yeah. But
when you literally put your glasses on, now everybody's just walking around with glasses. And what am I looking at? Am I looking at this screen over here, or am I looking at Sean? Am I looking at this? Am I, you know, all of that.
I think that's like the long-term kind of fear. I think like the short-term fear I have about like kind of what you're saying, I think the flip side of these two things being a nexus that could create great development is they could also become like a giant hoarder where people can't get average computers because chips are, like if this guy actually was able to hoard $7 trillion worth of microchips, what does that look like for how expensive a computer becomes?
Mm.
If like one in every five chips is going into AI or, I don't know, like I feel like...
We've already seen it. You can't buy cars. That was COVID.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have enough chips for your car. I literally just got the chip for my new car a month ago. Now, granted, I didn't go and get it last summer.
So you bought a car that was not functional because it didn't have a chip?
Yeah, it didn't run. I couldn't go anywhere with it, but it sat on my driveway.
What was the chip? What?
So in cars these days, for all of the, you know, like lane departure sensors, forward sensors, braking sensors, video, you know, 3D video sensors, all those things, each one of those is kind of powered by its own chip, if you will. sometimes they're all on one chip and it's one thing, but the way GM had done it was there's three AI component or sensor components. One of them wasn't ready for my car when I bought it.
So you had the car, you could do everything, but it just didn't have these features.
It didn't have the park assist chip.
Right.
Mm. I had rear video with sensors to let me know if I'm backing up. I also had I had lane departure.
Oh, so you didn't have that plot they have, yeah. Almost like you're an airplane.
It doesn't park the car for me, but it tells me this. It activates the sensors all around me to let me know like all parts of my car how close I am to hitting something, as opposed to just leaving my lane or backing into something or hitting something in the forward.
That's the way I was taught. You back in, and when you feel the bump, you're good enough. move forward a little bit.
That's city driving.
Man, I'll say, you talk about like how the human mind maybe atrophies as some of this stuff gets better. I fucking suck at parallel parking now. And I used to be great at it. I mean, I lived, in the city of Chicago. I mean, granted, with smaller cars than a minivan. Mm-hmm. But, even if a minivan has more than enough room, with the modern features, I'm fine. But if you turn them off, somebody hit our car and they broke it, and you're like, wow, I got to relearn this,
Yeah. My brother's got
one
that
of my
on
proudest
his
moments was
minivan.
When I was driving with my youngest son up at his school. And granted, it's in this tiny little mm-hmm. town, but the main drive has, parallel parking. And he pulls up and he backs, first go, boom, perfect, parks it. I went, that was impressive. Well done.
Nice, yeah.
And his girlfriend goes, oh, my God, he's great at this.
Yeah.
He is amazing. Nobody I drive with can parallel park your son. I'm like,
he must be a good visual guy, spacing. Yeah.
My brother was like that. He had I could just put the car in the right position, hit the button, and it'll parallel park for me. Minivan. A Chrysler Pacifica has this. He would never use it. And then he pulled up one day for a family party in front of my sister's house. And I'm like, you're pushing I want to see this car park itself. I don't care. Go do it. I want to see it. Like, you've never hit this before. You've never done it. And he got halfway through it and put the brake on. He's like, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. He just was like so scared it was going to hit one of the cars there.
Yeah.
My brother, the lawyer, was like, I'm not doing it. Nope. Nope.
That's
I'm like,
hilarious.
But you're a lawyer. It's like, you get the book.
When you started that story, I was on the fence. I was like, is he going to go with, he pushed the button and it did hit a car? Or is he going to go with, he pushed the button and it parked it so well that he went, oh, my God, I'm never parking again.
That speaks to my brother. forget it. I'll
neither
do it
one of those.
Nope. Can't
That's
get there.
Funny. That Couldn't is very funny. Very funny. All right. Well, I'm sorry to do this, but I think it's your birthday.
Oh, boy.
No, it's not your birthday, but I think it's we so need to long. Take somebody out it's for so his birthday. And I am a little peckish. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm hungry, too.
Same. So
he has to choose. Where are we going? All right. We've been the Worldwide IT guys. Thanks very much for listening.
Later.
We might be back someday.
We will.
Bye. It's a gorgeous day.
It is a gorgeous day.
Where do you want to go? We'll be right back.